Good morning. Happy Mother's Day to all the biological and spiritual mums today. I just pray God's blessing on you no matter where you are, what's going on, and just pray you have a joyous day. It's absolutely cracker of a day out there, so yeah, I hope you enjoy it a lot. This morning, just preaching again on an amazing topic that we all probably love to think about, in the topic of waiting well. I said to Dave this week, I'm like, you really pulled out some challenging scriptures for us to ponder on for the beginning of the year, so we may as well dig into this one. And preaching, yeah, today on the idea of waiting well and what that looks like for us as followers of Christ. And I was praying this week, and you know, the word I kept coming back to me was actually the vulnerabilities that we all experience when we're waiting on God. But before we start, I just want to say Happy Mother's Day to my mum. She's come to listen to me preach this morning, and feel very blessed. You always know that you have been given an amazing gift when everyone else talks about how amazing your mum is, and you have to share it with lots and lots of other people. That's my mum. She's, she'll probably kill me anyway, but, you know, she's 88 this year, still serving God. Spent through the last 30 years down at Southern Cross Kids with the team down there. An amazing, amazing example for me. I love her to bits. And yes, I do look like her a lot if you get to say hello to her on the way out. She's an incredible nana. She's an incredible mum, and I feel always grateful. So happy Mother's Day, Ma. So vulnerability, the vulnerability of waiting on God. I just want to preface this like I normally sort of say. I'm as human as the rest of you. Don't necessarily find waiting on God the most joyous thing in my life, particularly when I feel most vulnerable around the things that matter to me most. When I'm waiting on God in those moments and in those times when I have no other option but to surrender to His plans, to His purposes, and to the hope and the trust and the lived experience that not just I've had, but other people who have gone before me in my life have taught me, but also testified to the goodness of God in those moments when I felt most uneasy or vulnerable or doubting or questioning. But let me start by just praying with you. So would you join me in prayer? Lord, I just want to thank you for your love for us. I thank you, Lord, for every person here. I thank you, Lord God, for the incredible way that you have shaped all of us uniquely through our lived experience, our life experience, the unique way, God, that you have created us and formed us. And so, Lord, I just particularly today want to honor, Lord, the spiritual and biological mums that have gone before me, sit around me, Lord, for my friends, for those, Lord, who you've placed in our lives to walk with us. We're forever grateful, Lord, for the legacy and the testimony of what it is that you are doing uniquely through the women in this community. So Lord, I pray your blessing on each person here. And I just pray, God, too, as I just sort of share this short word this morning, I just invite you, Holy Spirit, to be speaking directly to us around the vulnerabilities, Lord, that we may have gathered in our lived experience that both help and hinder, Lord, our ability to wait on you. So I surrender this time, this moment to you, and just pray for your grace and your blessing in Jesus' name. I mean, so we're reading this morning from John 20, 1 through to 10. I think it's going to be on the screen. So join with me. The empty tomb is the heading in the NIV version, which is the version we're reading this morning. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb and we don't know where they've put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw that the strips of linen lying in there, as well as the cloth, had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying. I just want to give you a moment. I want you to read that for yourselves. And as you read through that scripture this morning, I just want you to allow the Holy Spirit to be prompting you around what you notice, what experiences you think each of these disciples might have been thinking. In this moment, in this particular time, obviously, we only have the scripture that we can read ourselves. We can't really fully understand what these disciples must have been experiencing in this moment. But I just want you to spend just a few minutes just reading for yourself and allowing the Lord maybe to speak to you through this passage, through one of the characters or through a word or something that prompts you. So I'll just give you a moment to do that. You know, I think this scripture, like a lot of the scripture that we read, sometimes I think when we look at these kind of scriptures, I think we kind of put, or at least I have at different times, we sort of put these idea of the disciples in this kind of incredibly spiritual, almost like, role that they have around their capacity to, you know, overcome absolutely everything. And there's truth in that, but I also just want to highlight today just the humanity, I think, in the midst of this experience that the disciples were having in this moment around the vulnerability of waiting on God. We can see that they went back to where they were staying, which was kind of odd to me when, you know, the body's missing. Did they go back because they were scared? It said that, they all had different responses. They all had different kind of needs. I was thinking about, you know, Mary was the first one there, ran back, told the disciples, and then they sort of ran off. You know, did they not think to sort of say... to reassure her as they left her there, because we know that, you know, the scripture says, the very next verse is that now Mary stood there crying. Did they not think just to stop and just to say, "Are you doing okay?" You know, so many things. And of course, we know that we can only speculate. We don't really know what was, 100% accurate happening for each of these disciples outside the testimony of the fact that this was written to give us a testimony of the resurrection of Jesus. But I think there's something in this for all of us, is that the waiting on God, the waiting with others, can be actually one of the hardest things we ever do. It can be vulnerable and it can be really painful. And in the waiting, I think the core of who we are can also be challenged. I think it was for Peter, because we know, and we can flip on to, you know, John, we have the beauty of doing that because we have the Bible in its entirety. But we know for John, you know, that there, you know, may have been a vulnerability for him, at least, to be questioning, you know, who he was, who they were. In the waiting, I think our faith can be challenged. I think our identity can be challenged. I think our hope can be challenged. At least I know that that's been my experience in the waiting. And sometimes I think in the waiting, if I'm honest with you, I can be quite, you know, hard of my assessment of myself. Sometimes we can be comparing, right? You know, was I praying enough? Was I good enough? Am I doing enough? Why is God answering everyone else's prayers but seems to be kind of skipping out on mine? Should I quit? What's the point of all this? God, where are you? Is God even listening? Why are you quiet? And I think, you know, the basis and the foundation of trust is really being able to offer that of what you value most into the hands of someone, or in our case, into the trusting arms of a loving God. And what's interesting about this particular story is that the disciples themselves only had parts of the information, often like we do, when something that we're trying to discern or you know, something that we're trying to figure out in the midst of some of the challenges we walk through in life and the stories and that's being played out in our lives individually, is that the disciples also only had a few instructions, despite the fact that they had actually ministered and walked alongside in the physical presence of being able to talk to Jesus face to face, like I would, you know, to you in this congregation for 3 years. They had only a few simple instructions in Scripture. They had to stay in Jerusalem. It was dangerous there, we know that, because there was a start of a move of persecution, which would have been vulnerable in and of itself. They had to wait for a promise that hadn't yet come to pass, with no details about when or how it was going to happen. They had to remain together in their confusion. Imagine how challenging that may have been in the midst of grief and uncertainty. And the fact that all of the disciples probably responding just like we would, very differently to how we carry ourselves in the midst of vulnerability. I love the thought that I read a book last year by Brené Brown called The Atlas of the Heart. And it's a book, actually, that brings some description around some of the emotions that we tend to feel or can feel, or the places we go when. And I just wanted to bring them up to you up today, because I think that in the midst of our own vulnerabilities, while we're waiting on God, there are so many different experiences that we can experience in the midst of our own vulnerability. The places we go when things are uncertain or too much. Stress, overwhelm, anxiety, worry, avoidance, excitement, dread, fear, vulnerability. The places we go when we compare. Comparison, admiration, reverence, envy, jealousy, resentment. Schneidenfurt or Freudenschnur, I don't even know how to pronounce those two, but basically, those two words are kind of connected to the best way to describe it. They're kind of connected to being joyous at the demise of someone else in that sense, I think. Places we go when things don't go as planned. Boredom, disappointment, expectations, regret, discouragement, resignation, frustrations. Places we go when it's beyond us, or wonder, confusion, curiosity, interest, surprise. Places we go when things aren't what they seem. Amusement, bittersweetness, nostalgia, cognitive dissonance, paradox, irony, sarcasm. Places we go when we're hurting, anguish, hopelessness, despair, sadness, grief. Places we go with others, comparison, pity, empathy, sympathy, boundaries, comparative suffering. Places we go when we fall short, shame, self-comparison, perfectionism, guilt, humiliation, embarrassment. Places when we go when we search for connection. Belonging, fitting in, connection, disconnection, insecurity, invisibility, loneliness. Places we go when the heart is open, love, lovelessness, heartbreak, trust, self-trust, betrayal, defensiveness, flooding, hurt. Places we go when life is good, joy, happiness, calm, contentment, gratitude, foreboding joy, relief and tranquility. Places we go when we feel wronged, anger, contempt, disgust, dehumanization, hate, self-righteousness. And places we go to self-assess, pride, hubris, and humility. I wanted to share that with you because I think in the midst of vulnerability, often with our own lived experience, we carry with us a whole heap of responses with us and with other people in regard to the emotions and how we wait. And I want to say today that each of the challenges that we carry can help us or can hinder us as we continue on the journey of trusting God in the midst of our own vulnerability as we wait. I know for myself, one of my big rocks in here that I carry with me is my own experience of waiting on God when my father got cancer and passed away 25 years ago. I carry the lived experience with me. The pain, the challenge of trying to understand where God was in the midst of my prayer. The hindsight now that I can look back on that experience and see that God was in it. But in the moment, I couldn't. In the moment, I was on my knees praying, I was fasting, I was desperate for God to move the way that I wanted God to move. But God's plan was very different to my plan. And in the years following, as a pastor, it's really difficult to hold on to the truth that God heals when my lived experience was that wasn't the case in the situation or my interpretation of how God would heal my father during that season of my life. But we bring that with us. And I think the challenge for us today and the thing that I felt most in my spirit, in my prayer time to share with you, is be aware of what you're carrying. Be aware of the lessons that God is not just teaching in your life, in the waiting. But share the stories with one another to build faith, to build courage. I still don't have the answer to why in the midst of that journey that I went on with God 25 years ago. But I know that God walked with me and my family, and I can testify to the truth of the fact that God never left me or forsook me. And I still believe to this day that God answered that prayer, but it wasn't what I wanted in that moment. There was a journey of healing for me, for our family, and for the things that God was doing beyond my interpretation in the waiting. But the truth is that God
was faithful. The truth of God's word was faithful. What are you carrying with you in the waiting? Sometimes I think in the waiting as well, we hold the tension of trusting and protecting our heart and protecting our sense of self in the midst of the expectations that we have of God or of others or even ourselves in the midst of those difficulties. I also think in the midst of waiting, we're vulnerable to walking in the truth of who God says we are. Our identity can be vulnerable. Our identity and sense of self can also take a hitting. And I think that one of the greatest things about the gift that God has given us as followers of Christ is that He promises to strengthen us in all situations. And again, I had last year kind of, I'm forever fascinated by the stories of other people, what God's doing in the stories of other people's lives in the midst of waiting, in the midst of their own challenges. And as most of you know, I work, a large chunk of my week is serving the persecuted church in the context of my job. And last year, in the midst of war, I was in contact, regular contact with the team in Lebanon in the midst of war. And I was having a conversation with one of our team members, and I was fascinated in their waiting as the bombs were going off in the back as I was talking at different times about work, about some of the things. The whole team continued to work through that whole experience as they waited. Were they fearful? Yes. Were they human in their response? Yes. Did they cry? Yes. Was it devastating? Yes. Was it difficult? Yes. Was there unanswered questions? Yes. Was there questions and doubt around what God was doing in the Middle East and the Middle Eastern region? Yes, there still is. But this person said this to me. They said, you know, it's okay, Jen. We're not victims in this situation. A profound statement, I think, because if I would have classified them, I would have said wholeheartedly they're victims in this situation. But it's not how they view themselves. It's not their identity. Their identity is in the living Christ and the hope that we have in Christ, that God, they can do all things through Christ who strengthens them, that there's a sense of resilience, that there's a sense of knowing and experiencing the power of God in the midst of their own vulnerability as they stand unshakable in the midst of many situations that they've walked through. And I think for all of us, there's something that we can learn in that. There's something I can learn in that. There's something about the fact that we're not victims to the situations that we walk through. You know, the Lord very much says to us that we are, that we, as we walk together. Now, that doesn't mean that we may not have experienced, challenging situations that have an impact on us. But I believe wholeheartedly that in all of that, as we trust in God, that God provides a way for us to have agency and to move through hope, through faith. There is a way out. There is a next step. Dave said last week, waiting serves multiple purposes in our spiritual growth. It can loosen our grip on control, prepare us for what's next, build patience, deepen our dependencies on God, and refocus our attention on Him, among other things. So how do we hold sometimes? And this was one of the other things that I was fascinated about. Like, how did that community hold the space of their own vulnerability and their own waiting while they supported one another? What were the expectations within that community that helped them to enable, to strengthen one another in the midst of their challenges? And I think for us as a community, You know, we have to be aware of the fact that we hold both, you know, there's a calling, I think, when you're in a church community, that we both support one another in the waiting, and we also deal with our own vulnerabilities in the waiting. And the expectation often is that we are all at different times moving, most of us, through times of vulnerability in waiting on God. We all carry pain. We all carry moments. And I believe that as a church, as we continue to move forward and support each other, when we go through tough times, we also have to be gracious and kind to the fact that sometimes people don't have the margin, maybe to be or to live up to whatever it is your expectation is in, I don't know, whatever it is that you're walking through. And that's okay. It has to be. We're all human. We all face stuff. We need grace. We need clarity of understanding around what our expectations are of one another as we walk together. Or at least that's what I learned from the team in Lebanon. They were all walking through their own grief and suffering. And what matters to most in the waiting is actually the incredible gift that God has given us in the waiting. He meets us there. He meets us there in truth. He meets us there through His word. He meets us there through the kindness of other people. He meets us there in prayer. He meets us there in the moments when we feel fear or doubt, or that our, you know, our emotions or our feelings are not aligning with what we're experiencing in any given moment as we sort of wait on God. And I think God can handle it all. He handles our doubt, He handles our fear, all those lists of what I put up before, the list that is in the Atlas of the Heart. I believe that God can hold that for us as we process and understand what is our response in the midst. What are our vulnerabilities as we're waiting on God for answered prayer? What are our vulnerabilities, and how those, are we aware of when they're getting in the way or not getting in the way, and how are we processing them? Because I know that there's some things for me in the waiting that would take me to a 10 in like 30 seconds. Could be a struggle my kid's having if I can't get them out of it and I just want to control the situation, just bail them out. Or somebody that I love dearly is like my father. I can't solve it. I can't control it. I can't control that situation. That tends to take me to kind of like a 10. And I have a myriad of different reactions and responses that are a human, natural response to that. But are you aware when they're getting in the way, and who are you processing that with? So I just want to close by this. God meets us where we at. Jesus entered the locked room when the disciples hid in fear. He showed them His wounds when Thomas was doubting. He cooked them breakfast on the beach. He restored Peter after his denial. I love, this was one of the first scriptures I learned when I became a Christian. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. There's moments and seasons, I think, that I've walked through, I must have said this, that feels, or at least feels like, I'm sure I haven't, but feels like a million times. Have I felt it? Probably not. But has God built faith and resilience and truth around this scripture for me? Absolutely. It's my go-to when I'm most fearful, when I'm most anxious. Then trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Acknowledge Him in all His ways, and His promise is that He will make your path straight. In the waiting, you are not alone. Wherever you're at today, whatever you're waiting for, a change, an answered prayer, a disappointment, God may not respond in the way you're expecting or in the timing, but he's walking with you. And that's the promise I want to leave you with this morning. He will never leave you and he will never forsake you. And you have not gone forgotten in the midst of whatever it is you are waiting for. Let me pray and then Brett's going to lead us in communion. God, I just want to thank you so much for your love for us. And I thank you, Lord God, that in the midst of our own vulnerabilities and, Lord, the journey that we're all on, and I would imagine in this room that there's all sorts of different stages of what we're waiting on. And pray, Lord God, for those who have an anxious and heavy heart today. I pray for the peace that transcends all understanding, that you would guard our hearts and our minds. I pray, Lord God, that in the midst of our own emotional human response, God, that you would continue to bring transformation. Lord, as we process those thoughts, as we process those emotions, those signals, that you would lead us, Lord God, into a greater awareness of your love for us. You would equip us with the tools, Lord God, that enable us, Lord, to respond in the way that brings peace to our lives and to peace to the lives of those within this community as we walk, Lord God, your story of what it is you're doing uniquely in us individually, but Lord, also as a church. I pray for grace, Lord. Grace when expectations are not met. Grace in taking a moment to understand, Lord, the story, the biggest story of what you're writing in all of our lives. And I pray, Lord God, that your name would be glorified and that we would remember, Lord, that as we walk with you, your promise is that we won't be shaken. And I thank you for that. Amen.